Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Or if you're going to deal and get a car, you go to Tom and the gang. No doubt about that. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Mookie Betts, not one, not two, but three home runs in Anaheim last night.
The pitch. And there's a drive to left field. This is high and deep. Is it number three of the night? Yes, it is. Over the bullpens. Home run number three tonight for Mookie Betts. He has five on the year as he hits Bedrosian's second pitch out. 10-1 Red Sox.
And that's not booing you're hearing. Those are a lot of Red Sox fans in Anaheim saying, Mookie, three home runs last night for him. Ohtani, he hit the first one off Ohtani to lead off the game. I was watching the game last night. I got into the fourth inning. It was 8-1 when I finally said, okay, I think I've seen enough. And because I'd not seen Ohtani pitch yet. Now, it's one thing to watch highlights. Yeah, you can watch all the highlights you want. You get no feel for what's going on. You get no feel for watching highlights. None.
I was locked into Caps and Columbus last night, and they were going into overtime. And had they not got into overtime, I would have flipped over to MLB Network a little quicker. And I figured, oh, okay, they're only done with two. Okay, I still have time to catch a little bit of Ohtani. It's like, whoa, 66 pitches after two innings.
Yeah, now I guess he developed a blister, but... let me tell you what the two innings I watched. He's got four legitimate pitches. Four. Fastball topped out at 100 last night. Fastball, curveball, slider, split. Now, his problem last night is that he had trouble, and I guess he had gone two extra days between starts. Sometimes that's detrimental. Sometimes you got too much rest. His secondary pitches struggled last night in terms of control, especially his split. Because what he's been doing is, because he had retired 35 of the last 38 batters he had faced going into the game last night. Now, obviously, the Red Sox would be the best offense he's faced so far. All right, I got that. But he went out there last night, and he couldn't control his split. Because what he's been doing is he's been getting two strikes on hitters, and then, boom, he throws that split, and like, hey, and that's... He's been getting strikeouts that way because they're chasing the split that's out of the zone. Well, last night, the first couple splits he threw were 55-foot splits. That's not going to help. And he had no control over it last night. But just in watching him, you can see he's got four legit pitches. Fastball with movement between 95 and 100. He's got good curveball. He's got a really good slider. And I know, when he has control, obviously, he can throw a really good split. Now, the Red Sox just jumped all over him last night. But I still got walked away with a favorable impression about what I was seeing out of him. Just in terms of, like, the Red Sox had Holt homered off him last night. So did Mookie Betts. Whatever. I mean, the Red Sox were hot last night. But you can see that he's got four pitches. Now, as a hitter, I'd like to watch him a little bit more as a hitter because I've only seen highlights of that. And again, you don't get much of anything. I don't care what anybody says. You don't get much of anything out of highlights except you get kind of a general feel as to how it went. If you really want to know how good somebody is, you got to watch him through multiple at-bats, multiple pitches. What kind of eye do they have? Do they go to the opposite field? And by the way, did you see Corbin of Arizona last night was a winning pitcher, one hitter, lost the no-hitter in the eighth inning. Now, let's be honest. Having the shift probably benefited his no-hitter last night. The irony was is that the shift cost him the no-hitter last night. Brandon Belt dribbled one down the left side, and the third baseman was overplayed closer to shortstop. Had to run, couldn't get to it. It wasn't a bunt, just he just swung and didn't go far, and it went to the left side of the infield, and there was only one guy over there, and they couldn't make a play. It's the only hit he gave up. All right, let's get everybody up to date early on where the standings are in the majors and where your favorite team happens to be at this particular time. And, of course, for many of you, your favorite team would be the Philadelphia Phillies. And the Phillies right now are right there in second place, and they're two games back of the Mets. As hot as the Mets have been, the Phillies are now 10-6. The Phillies are 10-6, and they've played more games on the road than they have at home. But so far, 10-6. The Nationals are 9-9. So it's the Mets, Phils, Braves, Nationals, Marlins through 16, 17 games. You know, Washington's 9-9, 18 games. The Pirates lead the Central at 12-6. They won today. The first series they've lost all year. Cardinals got rained out, snowed out, whatever it was in Chicago. They're 10-7. Brewers 9-9. Cubbies are 7-8. Then Cincinnati's 3-14. Arizona won last night on the Corbin one hitter. They're 12-4. Rockies, after taking two out of three from the Pirates, are 11-9. Then it's the Dodgers 7-9. Giants 6-10, and the Padres are 7-12. So you go to the American League. The Red Sox are 14-2. The three games up on the Blue Jays are 11-5. The Yankees are even at 8-8, six back. Tampa Bay 5-13. Baltimore 5-13. The Indians are 9-6, despite the fact they can't hit. Twins are 7-5. They're playing in Puerto Rico against Cleveland. By the way, did you see Lindor homered last night? Talk about a special moment, homering in Puerto Rico for Lindor. He went crazy going around the bases, and they went crazy in the seats. Detroit is 6-9. White Sox are 4-10. Kansas City 3-12. Angels are 13-4. Astros 11-7. Then it's the Mariners at 9-6. A's are 8-10, and the Rangers are 7-13. So that's where they stand right now. Stanley Cup playoffs. The Vegas Golden Knights are into the next round, huh? Yeah, they are. How about that? How about that? San Jose leads Anaheim 3-0. They play tonight at home. Colorado at home and Denver at the Pepsi Center tonight take on Nashville. Predators are up 2-1. Tampa Bay's at New Jersey. Lightning up 2-1. Penguins and Flyers tonight with the Penguins up 2-1.
No Patrick Hornquist tonight for the Pens.
No, he will not. He will not play.
Yeah, he... did not take part in the practice yesterday morning at the Lemieux Center in Cranberry, and reporters said, they're kind of, okay, where's Horny? He wasn't out there in the ice. And Sullivan didn't get into any specifics. He didn't speculate when it happened, where it happened, but he is out of the lineup for tonight. But what's great about Mike Sullivan in the postseason, just with the series that he has been in charge of the last couple of years, it's just great how he's able to shift players in different lines. Not to do that again tonight.
He's an outstanding coach. I mean, I think when you look at Sullivan in the NHL, adjust better than any coach out there right now. In the NBA, the guy is Brad Stevens with the Celtics. And I don't know if the Celtics will beat Milwaukee or not, but he doesn't have Marcus Smart. He lost Hayward the first 2 minutes of the season. He's lost Kyrie Irving for the playoffs. And they go out in the last two nights and played really well. Indiana's at Cleveland tonight. Pacers won the opener. Utah is at Oklahoma City. Thunder won the opener. And Minnesota's at Houston tonight. The Rockets won the opener. So there you go. That's where everything stands with the respective playoffs right now. It's interesting. Now, next part is what. Let's get into the NCAA. We are now 1 week away from finding out what the Rice Commission is going to recommend. Something that they do have to address is the NCAA transfer rule. Now, how much of it they have to address, how far they go, I don't know. If they leave this wide, wide open for people, it's going to be the Wild West out there. So let's see what they recommend. Now, the age-old rule has been transfers have to sit out a year before regaining their eligibility to actually play. Now you have the graduate transfer rule, and that is one that is very interesting for Penn State basketball right now. Is Penn State has been able to fill three traditional spots with scholarships through Kaskin and Dredd and Bolden. But Penn State still has two more spots to fill. And I've been saying for weeks now that I thought Penn State needed to get two grad transfers. Weeks. I don't mean since the Utah game. I'm talking about before the Utah game. I was talking about, look, they're going to need to get two grad transfers. Usually you can make statements like that when you have a pretty good idea what certain individuals are going to do. Okay, in terms of not being with the program any longer. So on Monday, after a two-day meeting, the transfer group announced some substantive changes. They're going to eliminate the elimination of the need for athletes to seek permission from their coaches to transfer. Okay. Instead, they're going to create a more athlete-friendly notification model that allows transfers to continue to receive their scholarship pending their move. All right. Increase the penalties for tampering. Now, that's really good. And establish a transfer database where athletes who wish to relocate can enter their names and information, ideally bringing their recruitment out of the shadows. Who's been... That part mystifies me. Everybody announces that they're transferring, and the school usually announces. We all know Nas Bostic is transferring. Penn State announced it. That one's a little murky. Now they have to decide whether athletes should have to sit out a year after transferring, and if the rule should be applicable to athletes in all sports. Right now, it only applies to men's and women's basketball, football, baseball, and hockey. That's why in wrestling, I mean, wrestling's like you just say, "Hey, he shows up, he's wrestling for you." Okay, great. It's like that happens all the time in wrestling. I mean, I think people think you have to sit out a year. No, you don't. Nope. They also have to determine what to do for players after a coach is fired or switches jobs. Yeah. All right, let's start with a couple of things. Number one, because they already have the rule in place that you have 5 years to complete four, I still say you have to sit out a year unless you're in a grad transfer. If you, again, to be a grad transfer is a different element. You have done... I mean, if you're going to sit there and tout all the time, get your degree, get your degree, get your degree, and then somebody gets their degree and they're like, no, you can't transfer. Well, he did what he was supposed to do, or she did what she was supposed to. She got a degree. He got his degree. Time to go someplace else. That, I think that's okay. So that grad transfer is a little bit different. But I think anybody else, you still have to sit out a year. What to do for players after a coach is fired or switches jobs? I think they should all be allowed to transfer at that point. Now, if a coach is fired or switches jobs, then I think it becomes a little different animal about whether you have to sit out. So I think that becomes a little different. Coach is fired or switches jobs. And then you have to address the graduate transfer issue. I mean, and there's been no consensus, according to Justin Sell, who's the athletic director at South Dakota State. They're going to announce its opinions and suggestions on how to fix the game. Now, remember, when the Rice Commission announces all of this, these are recommendations. It is not them say, okay, here's the new rule. No, membership has to vote on this. But they're going to recommend certain elements. and give a blueprint as to what they think should be done. One area where, again, let's get to drafted players, and I'll go back to this, and I feel very strongly about this. If you go into the draft and you don't get drafted, you should be able to go back to school. I think if you get drafted and you're not crazy about where you get drafted, and I don't mean, and I'm not talking, I mean, obviously it can be in a wide variety of things. I don't want to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't want to go to the Dallas Mavericks. Right? It could be that, or it could be, oh man, it's a 60-player draft. I got picked 56th. It's a 7-round NFL draft. I got picked in the 6th round. Ah.
There may be some people that may not be aware of this, but kids out of high school that are playing either baseball or college hockey. Now you can correct me if I'm wrong. They can have a business relationship with an agent without risking eligibility, right?
They're called an advisor. They are referred to as advisors. And I would not be opposed to having student athletes have advisors. I think they should be able to go back to school even if they're drafted and they aren't crazy about where they got drafted. It could be the number they got drafted. It could be the team they got drafted by. Remember, no matter what happens anyway, if they're drafted, that pro team does maintain their rights for 364 days. They have exclusive negotiating rights with them. Now, after 364 days, they can put their name back in and then go to the next draft. They can do that. But I think they should be, I think the universities should open the door to them. Give them a date to make up their mind. I mean, you have to make up your mind on something here at some point. But give them a date after the NBA draft. Give them a date after the NFL draft where they have to make up their mind as to whether they're going to go or stay, and then go from there. Give them that option to come back to school. And to me, I think that is a big one right there. If you want to, especially when it comes to basketball, you want to put the little, everybody talks about one and dones. I think that's one that is very student-athlete friendly, which is what you're trying to do here. Now, there is one area where they all agree. They don't want college football and basketball to be like free agency. Because right now, I've talked about this many times. Let's just take college basketball. It looks like the waiver wire out there. Now, this is one of those times that from Penn State's point of view, I'm hoping they... Now, again, they're looking at grad transfers. That, to me, is a different ball game. Said student athlete has already graduated. Right? That's different. In 2011, there were 15 grad transfers in men's basketball. In 2016, there were 87. See, it's getting bigger by all the time. And the irony is I'm not allowed to talk about grad transfers out there right now. Why? Okay, the reason is Penn State's recruiting grad transfers, so it would be a recruiting violation for me to mention names, even though I know exactly who they're going after and who's going to be here this weekend. All right, we will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai asks, what import brand is the must-have vehicle in the Susquehanna Valley?
Toyota?
April Fools!
Honda?
April Fools!
Subaru?
April Fools!
It's Hyundai! That's no April Fools! If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai! Stop in Sunbury Motors Hyundai and see why Hyundai offers more features, more selection, and more choices than any other import brand. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is taking up to $5,050 off 2018 Hyundai Santa Fe's, and they start at $25,560. Start your spring off right with a brand new Hyundai Veloster. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 7 in stock, starting at $17,495. Or a 2018 Hyundai Elantra, starting at $15,730, with 13 in stock. And they all have America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Don't fall for April Fool's jokes. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Thank you.
All right, great to have you with us. And there are a lot of transfers out there. I mean, guys that are already making their commitments. Again, this is going to be for Penn State. They got a couple guys coming in this weekend. I'll leave it at that. Who they are? I mean, yeah. For me to say again, yeah, you have to understand the recruiting rules. The recruiting rules. If I say something as the play-by-play announcer for the program, that's paid by the program, and the whole thing, it's a violation. I'm not going to do it. No, I can tell you a couple guys are visiting this weekend that are, I think, very interesting. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Tomorrow, Patrick Chambers, Bob Flounders, and Bob Grove. Coming up, Joe Marino, FanRag Sports on the NFL Draft, Joe Susan on Monday. And the Prince of Peace joins us on Friday as well. Is that what he wants to be called now?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 2 weeks from today is the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. To benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Get involved, get your team together, whatever. I'd love to see this sold out. It's going to benefit so many people. And once again, it's another way for the Purdy family to give back. It's great to have the community come together like that. We have a great time at this tournament every year. And we'll be playing in the morning flight, and our show will be there on site 2 weeks from today at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And so that is going to be, for us, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And always a lot of fun. Especially when the weather's nice. Get out there. One year, of course, we're out there, and we ran into a little bit of a storm. Okay, that happens. I think it's the only year we had bad weather. It's the only time. All the years I've played, this will be the seventh year I've played out there.
And last year was wonderful. A little bit of fog, though, and we were heading into our golf carts and headed out. But, hey, we can handle that. But little did we know, halfway through the show last year, Corey Fossold shows up with an impromptu pickle bar for all of us to enjoy. From Brewer's Outlet, taking the shindig to another level.
Oh, we took it to another level, all right.
Yeah.
So suddenly, out of nowhere, we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I forget what flavor Ron Marshall was diving into, and I thought he was going to take a jar with him. I said, "Are you having a Yankees party at your house tonight? I mean, what are you doing?" But we had plenty for Ronnie, so.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to have a great time with that. Looking forward to it. We were out there 1 year, years ago. And we ended up finishing the round. We didn't stop. We're standing there, and of course, the suit looks out, and there's a big black cloud. And he says, "The cloud's got lightning in it." Now, to his credit, he's spot on, right? He's spot on. And all of a sudden, it starts to rain. He's driving the cart. So he pulls the cart under a tree. I said to him, what are you doing?
He had good intentions.
He said, "Well, it's raining." I said, "You're the one that just said there's lightning in that cloud. We're under a tree."
Yep, and we're also surrounded by bags filled with sticks of metal.
I said, "Move over." So I told him to move over, right? But I get in the cart, and I start driving back to the clubhouse. He says, what are you doing? I said, "If there's a lightning storm, we're going to go in there. We're not going to sit under that." Then suddenly other people started following us. And we get up there. Yeah, we're a little wet at this point. Okay, that's fine. But
you're like Charlie Steiner in the Sports Center promo. Follow me to freedom.
Exactly. Right. It was. Like, what am I doing out here? Because the other two guys in the group came over and they followed him under the tree. I said, get out of here. I said, we're all getting out of here. I said, I'm not sitting out here in this. Right? So we go back in, and he's grumbling all the way up the hill. Like, where are we going? I said, we finally get there. As soon as we pull in and we go into the clubhouse, crack. I think maybe you were right. I said, you think?
You're welcome.
My goodness. This guy hunts in like the open woods? Really? Oh, God. I don't think I've told that story before.
No, that's first time hearing that.
It was just another, you know, once again, there's just been too many assassination attempts. I'm just not, you know.
We want to give the news. We don't want to be part of it.
Well, then there was the first year where he started donning the suit, right? So we're out on the golf course, and he was on the phone. You weren't there. You were back in the studio.
Right.
And he was on the phone the entire time. Oh, I've got to straighten things. I got to straighten all that. I'm like, oh.
Oh. How about taking care of that straight putt from over there from nine feet out? Come on.
You told him yesterday not to take that shutter thing.
I tried. Got your back. And without hesitation, he goes, oh, it's ready.
Was it? I think it was last year. I took it out of the bag.
Well, you took the wrong club out. You thought you had the shutter.
Well, originally I took a 4-iron out. I didn't realize that.
But it was early. Well, we didn't hit 9 o'clock yet.
Right.
So.
Right. And when I got it back to the cart, I looked at it and go, oh, I've got the wrong club. And I was like, oh, well, okay. I can't just walk over and put it back in until he's down doing it. So finally he's doing it. So then I switched the clubs out. And then he went to use it. Where's my shutter? What are you talking about? Whatever do you mean? He tried to get out of view through what he thought was verbal torture.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize that years ago you tuned him out, so that didn't work.
Selective listening.
Huh?
Right. 570-286-5636. Call the Greater Susquehanna Valley Y in Sunbury and get your team together and get them in there. Get there. Join us in 2 weeks.
Yep. Countdown is on. Yep. And we want to help out as many people as possible. Awesome event. Really well done.
Like I said, your famous four words. Let's sell it out.
Let's sell it out. For a good reason, let's sell it out. Oh, boy. Great to have you with us on the show today. And Pirates won earlier today. Phillies play tonight. Okay.
And then Phillies and Pirates start tomorrow. Phillies are going to be wearing the powder blue throwbacks tomorrow night to start the series.
I like that.
I'm looking forward to the weekend series. This is going to be first real test for the Phillies for the season. I think some were surprised that Atlanta was playing so well. I'm just surprised they've played Atlanta so much here and we're not even a month into the season.
Yeah, I can't figure out rhyme or reason as to how the baseball schedule works. I finally figured out a year and a half ago how the Big Ten basketball rotation works. Now, of course, they're going to go to 20 games. So it's a new rotation. I have no idea how the football rotation works in terms of the other division. None. So I asked somebody that should know, And I said, I'm wondering, how does that work? And the answer was, they told us, I can't remember it. I mean, that's how confusing it is as to how the football rotation works. Now, Penn State this year has a far... Penn State has the most difficult crossover of anybody in the Eastern Division. They've got Wisconsin and Iowa. Now, the plus is they're both here. The plus is they're both at Beaver Stadium. But they've got Wisconsin and Iowa coming here. Nobody else has a tougher crossover than Penn State does. But Penn State's schedule's tougher because of that. But, and to me, that's one, when you're looking at schedules, you got to look at who are your crossover games. I don't care what conference you happen to be in at the time. You know, every conference now, with the exception of the Big 12, has divisions. Well, that means crossover games. And with crossover games, that's, to me, the key. I mean, you know you're always going to get Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Rutgers, Maryland. You're going to get them every year. You got that part. Okay, but you still have three other games from the, quote, other side. Well, with three games from the other side, that, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, they all aren't playing the same three teams from the other side. So somebody's going to be a little bit easier than somebody else. Well, Penn State's got Wisconsin and Iowa. So that does make it more challenging, more difficult. Now you can look at it a different way. What to me hurt Penn State down the stretch last year was that Nebraska, for example, was not very good. So Penn State closed out Rutgers, okay, fine. At Maryland, okay, fine. And then there was Nebraska, that crossover game. Well, it turned out Nebraska wasn't very good. So Penn State could not get a signature win down the stretch after the Michigan State game. They couldn't get a signature win down the stretch to then maybe leapfrog somebody and get themselves right back in the thick of what was going on. Wisconsin now is in that stretch run this year. I think that presents a great opportunity. I know it's a tough game, but it's a great opportunity, especially here. That's what I think. That's a difference. That's a potential difference-making game for Penn State as it tries to make a drive for the college football playoff if they put themselves record-wise in that position. They couldn't do that last year, because the opportunity just was not available because of how it played out. If you were to tell me 5 years ago that Nebraska would be in that spot, I'd say, okay, that's a golden opportunity game right there. That can, you know. And it turned out the reality was when they finally played the game, Nebraska was not very good. Well, this time with Wisconsin in that spot, like, okay, I can see this. I can see this being a potential benefit for Penn State. Now, you're going to see the blue-white game Saturday. It's going to be live on BTN. It's also going to be on Eagle 107 beginning at 3 o'clock. And as usual on the blue-white game, Jack and I will be very blunt with what we've seen during the course of the spring. They've had 13 practices. I've been to 10. And the reason I missed the other three was because of basketball, the NIT. I missed the opening day of spring practice because I was in Milwaukee. And then I missed the Monday, Wednesday ones, the week of the NIT Final Four at the Garden. So those are the three I missed. Now, Jack was at the Wednesday one. So one that I missed, Jack was at. So we have a pretty good handle on what we've seen, especially from the younger players. I mean, there's certain older guys. I mean, you look at, like, take Nick Scott. Nick Scott's had a really good spring. Older player, really good spring. Sharif Miller's had a really good spring. You know, these are among the older players. The older players you've expected. DeAndre Tompkins has had a really good spring. Miles Sanders has had a really good spring. You know, Trace obviously has. Blake Gilligan has. I mean, there's certain people you can count on right away that, you know, like Koa and Cam Brown. I mean, they expect to be really, you know, I think Tariq Castro Fields and Amani Oruwariye. I mean, they've been what you'd expect them to be. Right? So it's not, this is not, you know. But I think what people want to know, you know, I mean, you obviously don't want an older player slumping, and there are no older players slumping, so that's a plus. I think people want to know about some people that didn't play last year. They obviously want to know about the incoming freshmen. How good's Jesse Luketa? How good is Nick Tarburton? How good is Micah Parsons, Isaiah Humphreys, Gordon? You know, they want to know about all these guys. I mean, you'll be able to watch it on TV, but to be honest with you, when you watch spring football on TV, how much of the game do you see, and how much do they talk about the players? They don't. You know, they do interviews with so many other people during the course of the broadcast, and that's fine. They think that's the best way to get people interested, and it's really great for Penn State and all their programs. You know, that Sandy's on there talking about it because she represents everybody so well, or that you get a Patrick Chambers on, or you get Coquise on, or Kale Sanderson, or somebody. I understand that part. I got that. Or former players coming back. There's going to be a lot of former players coming back this weekend. That is, I completely understand that. Completely get it. Advanced forecast, by the way, for May 2nd, 64 and sunny. Okay? There we go. Just so you know. So I get that part. But if you want to know about the football part and about individuals, Jack and I will take care of that. We will do that. We'll go through it and be as thorough as possible. Because there's certain guys, I think, that have really come on in the spring that I walk away feeling even better about the football team. And that helps. I mean, that helps. And we'll talk about that. Because you know, on the football broadcast on radio, again, TV has to do what they have to do. I've got that. This is not a criticism of TV at all. Zero. Right? But if you're really into the football part of it, the depth chart part of it, the who's getting better, making progress part of it, getting as many names in as possible with some evaluations, radio side will do that for you. Jack and I are ready to do all of that for you. And again, TV has to do what they do. I got that part. But there's some people that really want the football and the football part, and for 2 hours we'll do a lot of that. All right, we will take a break. We will come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Something that you had confirmed for about a month, the Biffer just came in and told us. We can't
see now. You're torn whether you're from this day forward if you're going to call him the suit or the Biffer.
No, he's the suit. he's I asked him if he was going to bring that club with him. And he did confirm he is bringing the Chudder to the golf course. Last year...
I just liked how you described it as that club.
That thing.
That thing. Wait, that was a Lauryn Hill song. That thing.
Yeah. We were on the second hole last year. And we were just off the green. And he's high-fiving himself because now he gets to use the club. Meanwhile, Craig, the chief, and I are looking at each other like, oh, what's he doing? And he steps up and he hits it and he missed by 10 feet.
Takes a strong man to admit that it was a bad Chudder shot.
Well, he didn't at that moment.
That's right.
And you're looking over, you're confused. So I took out a sandwich and I chipped it with it about, I don't know, was it a foot? And I looked at him, I said, Chudder, Cheddar.
Yes.
Look, we're playing on the same team. We should root for the shot, correct?
Stutter with a chutter. Look at you. You got 2 weeks to unstutter the chutter. Chutter stutter.
Dick's Sporting Goods is now melting existing weapons that they have. They say they're going to. Why don't you bring that over?
Signing day. Just
a signing day for the chutter?
A chutter signing day.
Here's one for you. Okay, let's help out the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Why don't you auction it off?
Yes.
There you go.
Auction off the suit's chutter. No, yes. This is brilliant.
Hey, young people out there who could use some help. Meanwhile, Captain Suit Selfish. No, won't, you know, won't give up.
Relinquish the chutter. Any other club in the bag other than the chutter.
Matter of fact, you can have the putter. I haven't used that in years. Well.
I watched a Bond movie the other night that reminded me of your golf game and your chutter game. And in it, Bond goes around a curve and the car chasing him goes over this cliff. I thought right away of May 2nd.
For your eyes only.
It could be any Bond movie. They all come out like that. Just like it's any round with him. I mean, again, the only person I've ever golfed with that rooted for failure so he could use an illegal club.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.